This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, opening up hour number three, the final hour of the big show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel, and we are here on ESPN 97.5 to provide you entertainment and more. We talk sports for the most part. We also mix in a lot of things. You guys know how we do it. Nate wants to get in here on a topic we covered early in the show, Bitcoin. Nate, what's up?
Hey, guys. I was going to let you know how I trade. I don't trade Bitcoin, but I trade another coin called Litecoin.
I've heard
and
of that.
Basically, what I do is basically, I have an app called Coinbase, and it's a place where you can trade and store your coin. There's another called, like, Ethereum. And so, basically, I put in, like, you put in $100 or whatever for Litecoin or Bitcoin, and you just let it, the value of it rise, and then you can sell it at any point. And then that's how you can make money off, I guess, trading Bitcoin.
So you're using money, you're buying Bitcoin like it's gold or silver or stock, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, say you bought Bitcoin at like $100.
Yeah.
Now it's $1,700 or $17,000.
What blows my mind, though, is there's nothing behind that. Like with stock, you have the value of the corporation that you're buying. So, yeah, could that corporation go belly up and bankrupt? Absolutely. They could go away. But if they do well, there's something tangible. There's a company behind it. When you're buying gold and silver, you're actually buying a precious metal that you can hold that's rare. This, it's just it's fascinating to me that it's a concept that a couple of guys came up with that's just digital, that's been programmed, that people have decided has value. It's amazing to me that's happened.
Oh yeah, no, it's crazy to me. And like you said, I mean, you thought it might be too late. I mean, really, it might not, because if you think it's the future of the of how we are going to pay, then it's going to go up a lot more. I guarantee it.
Well, when you get rich, man, don't forget us little folks. All right.
I won't. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate the call, Nate.
All right,
telling you, I'm super fascinated by it.
It's you can see why, but it is rather confusing.
Yeah, and to me, Bitcoin is a smart man's game. I'm out.
But it does make you feel like you should be in tune with it. Like the more people talk about it, what is this Bitcoin? You know. Because it's amazing how long it's been out, and now it's just being talked about so much.
Somebody said, Barry won't hug sweaty LeBron, but he'll take Hakeem's balls to his face. That's not exactly true.
That's pretty good, by the way.
That's not how that went, sir.
Boogie Cousins took Clint Capella's balls to his face, and he wasn't very happy about it. Got away with a push, too, might I add.
Yeah.
I'll let everybody know on Twitter. But I'll say this about Boogie, not to change the subject. I'll take the bad personality for his skills, man. Like, if I'm an owner of a team, and I know we're not going to talk too much basketball. If I'm an owner of a team, I'm telling my coach, look, I pay millions of dollars for you to deal with multi-million-dollar personalities. Deal with this guy. He's amazing.
He is nuts.
He's good, dude.
But he is the best offensive center in the game.
No question.
The fact that he's
really
taking his game out to the three-point line and he's knocking down those shots.
Yep.
Yeah.
Taking the ball up.
And he's free agent at
the
end of the year now.
Yeah.
He's just so volatile.
He really is.
Like, he throws bows and he's dirty.
You can't trust that dude.
Best place for him is with a guy that you can't upend and get out of, like Greg Popovich. You put Boogie Cousins if Pop would want the headache, but you put Boogie Cousins on the Spurs and he knows this isn't like Keith Smart as my head coach in Sacramento where I can bark at him and if he doesn't like it, he's gone, not me. You put him with an experienced, respected coach and say, I'm going to maximize your abilities, but if you can sacrifice the tantrums, we can win games.
But do you think that, I don't know that you can't, a zebra doesn't change their stripes. If this dude is volatile, if it takes very little to set him off on the court, in the heat of battle, he's going to forget that. I promise you. Look at Dwight.
I don't disagree that they
tried to coach Dwight and get Dwight to not lose his cool. And every year in the playoffs, people knew you could push Dwight's buttons and get him out of sorts.
Harden was kind of like that too, and he worked on it.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, Barry, but I think if you get in the right, like I'm saying, if you get in the right situation, Dennis Rodman, who was a flat out complete loose cannon when he got to the Bulls, was a different player. Did he change completely? No. But was he much more subdued and tame than what he had done previously? Absolutely.
Yeah, but still, but even then, he still had his problems. He would still get in the fights and get ejected and everything else. It's just that he played more within the system. But Rodman, as the volatile guy that he is, didn't change. He still got ejected. Like, he still got in fights.
Like even Chuck Daly, if you can be that, everybody's different. We talked about it. Some guys screaming works, some guys coddling works. But if you find that delicate balance as a coach and you can just tap into all the resources he has, you'll deal with an occasional ejection. Especially if it's passionate about a real missed call. But if it's just stupid stuff, like last night shoving Ariza and getting into more just BS stuff, that's an issue because it can cost your team in a game you don't want to lose.
I personally think he should have been ejected. You get the T on the other end with Capella because he wasn't really trying to teabag him when he dunked him. And then
I don't know if I could say that, but I'm glad you said that.
And then he goes on to the other side and just pushes Ariza.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's two technicals right there. Bye.
It's funny to think if you watch Ariza's reaction to that as opposed to who was it that he was going to scrap with the other day?
Oh, who was he ready to throw
Miles
down with?
Miles Turner, I think his name.
And everyone was like, oh, you don't want to mess with Trevor Ariza.
That was Craig was down on the broadcast.
But then
that.
When Boogie Cousins starts shoving dudes, Ariza was like, man, I'm going to walk away.
He's a big dude.
Miles Leonard.
Leonard is his name?
I felt like there was a bit of a change in attitude when it was Cousins doing the shoving as opposed to somebody else, not as big or as nasty.
I've given you my list before. Craig almost named it verbatim, but it's Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, Trevor Ariza. Don't mess with those guys.
Yeah.
They know people and they know things. Don't do it. Yeah, but it was funny. I was thinking the same thing. Last night, he was just kind of brushing off.
He walked off. Did y'all see the story that Keuchel hired Scott Boras?
I heard,
and now people are
rumbling.
Freaking out that he might be going to the Dodgers.
I keep getting these texts. That's what I was asking you. I hadn't seen that he signed with Boras, but all of a sudden I'm getting texts. What are you going to think about when Keuchel goes to the Dodgers? I'm like, what?
Yeah, it said he was previously represented by frontline of the Astros players. Boras also represents Jose Altuve and Lance McCullers. So that's interesting. I don't blame him, though. You want to maximize that payday. They're only going to have so much money. So I think with... But this is also why, you know, yesterday when somebody was like, well, what about moving McCullers to the pen? This is why you don't do those things as well, because if Keuchel has plans of testing the waters in free agency and trying to get him as the most amount of money he can and not giving up a hometown discount to the Astros, and maybe that means going to the Dodgers or the Yankees, you have to be prepared for that.
This is the first warning sign that you are not going to keep all these guys together. Yeah. When Scott Boras is going to maximize every penny for his clients, and he has no compassion and no heart in home cooking discounts in any of these negotiations, that means trouble.
I mean, you think about this guy in Keuchel. He'll be 30 next year. He's won a Cy Young. He's won a world championship. He came up through this system. So, I mean, he was built here, but he's done all the things you look for in a stud ace pitcher. Performed well in the playoffs. So he could get paid.
He is James Harden on the Thunder.
What?
He's James Harden on the Thunder. He came up through the ranks. He paid his dues.
Right.
He played his role. But instead of sticking there and saying, how many championships can we win, he's going to go out and get his.
Well, I think the difference, though, being the things I mentioned, the Cy Young and the World Championship, Harden didn't have that.
Right. He didn't have that, but I'm saying this is what we were talking about. When either guys want to make sacrifices and stay together for the long haul to try and win as many championships. So essentially, you're either going to be Danny Green or guys like that with the Spurs that just want to win championships and make sacrifices, or you're going to be the guy, Russ, Harden, the kind of guy that says, okay, been there, done that, we got to a finals, we did some things, but I'm about ready to spread my wings.
Well, and do you blame him, though?
No.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it would be different if they had lost to the Dodgers? And... you know, they get to the AL championship series next year and lose, or they're so close the next couple of years, that's when you might see a guy be like, well, you know, maybe I'll see this through and win a World Series.
Because I think it does
Kevin
change
Durant
things.
Then. You go to a team to win it.
No, because I think what changes is the fact that they won the World Series so soon in the building of this dynasty of that is the Astros, that now they can all be like, well, guys, we did it. Let's all go get paid now.
Yeah. And then the unlikelihood, and I'm sorry to say it, but it's just really tough to win back-to-back World Series. But in the event that they win a second World Series back-to-back, I think it just makes it easier for him to leave and sign another contract somewhere. He helped bring you two World Series.
And getting Scott Boras makes it even easier because you just blame the agent because that's his track record.
Yep.
So you can get out. But, you know, here's the other thing. We talked about this yesterday, Barry, and we were talking about, or the other day too, when we were talking about where Stanton was going to end up. We don't have the luxury being in Houston that you do in New York or LA that says, hey, we're going to give Dallas Keuchel a long-term deal for all this money, and if he continues with his injury history and it doesn't work out, hey, we went for it.
Yep.
But in Houston, you're handcuffed. So they don't make those kind of, that's why it's going to be tough, because you know his medical history and that's going to factor in as well. The Astros aren't going to want to open that checkbook that big.
That's a good point.
So we'll see how it plays out. All right, we'll get a break in. We still got plenty more to get to. John, we still see you. You want to get in here. We've got lots of the lines open. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. You can call that line. Otherwise, what we do and check more frequently is you can call, you can text the HRP listener line, same number, 713-780-ESPN. Or you can hit us up on Twitter, and we're constantly checking that as well. We're the usual suspects. Back with a whole lot more on ESPN 97.5. Right now, guys, I want to tell you about my friends at Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long time now, and it's because it's Houstonians giving back to kids in need in Houston and making a difference while they can help you out by getting rid of a vehicle that's been on your premises. And with the hurricane and everything you've been through, maybe you don't want to pay any more money to get rid of a car that's out of service that can't be fixed. All you got to do is call Texas Can Academies. They'll do the rest. They'll take it away, and they'll make sure you get a tax deduction in the process. So not only are you saving the towing fees, but you're actually coming out ahead. That's the way Texas Can Academies works. You can donate any car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, trailer, or whatever you have. Running or not, they'll come to you. They'll tow it away. They'll do the paperwork. They'll give you that tax deduction. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card as well. And that's where the process really begins, because your donation is used to provide resources for kids trying to get a second chance at an education. It could be book money. It could be bus fare. It could be warm meals or eyeglasses. All the things that are distractions to a child trying to get an education if they don't have it, but all the things that help them to get their education if they do. That's what the program is all about. And it's real simple. It's local. So the Houstonians are helping the kids in H-Town to make a difference in their lives. It's great. If you want to call them and you have something you want to donate, please consider calling 713-225-4226 or logging on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. That's HoustonCarsForKids.com. They'll do the rest. And I'm telling you, you'll feel better at the end of the day knowing you made a difference, you got rid of what you wanted to get rid of, you saved money, and you helped a child. It's a great program all the way around. It's Texas Can Academies, right off the car, not the kid.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the final hour of The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. Boys, we still got to figure out way back Wednesday for tomorrow.
Oh, all right. I forgot about that.
So if you have suggestions, you, The Usual Suspects, please get them to us.
All the songs that Barry hates.
Boy, we could fill a week.
I thought of a lot of different... Not when I'm driving in the car. Songs will pop up and I'll go, I could have used that for songs I hate.
Yeah.
I could have used that for songs that I should hate that I don't. Yeah. But then again, we always have the request line for Casey Kasem on those days where people are going to tell us what they request anyway. John wants to get in here on Bitcoin, Barry. You started an epidemic, so let's get John in here. What's up?
Hey, guys. About 4 years ago, stayed at the Hyatt Regency downtown, had a placard there on the counter. We proudly accept Bitcoin. Most of your international hotels do. for the last 2 years, Bitcoin has been the number one currency in Europe. For anyone who ventures off to the offshore sports books, preferred method of funding your account is Bitcoin. The fact that we don't know how to use it here in America, but they do in Europe every day, thousands of transactions, will eventually catch up. I do know that there is a high-end private school in Houston, and one of the news stations did a TV story on it. One of the ways you can pay your tuition is Bitcoin. So it is being used. We don't know how to use it, but once we do, and if gambling is ever legalized here in America, watch out. It has not even begun to test its limits.
Appreciate the call, John. I feel like John was about one more minute away from asking us to be in his Bitcoin downline. Like, you know, if you buy Bitcoin from me all the people buy Bitcoin from you and then their friends buy the Bitcoins from them, you get a cut of their Bitcoin and then I'll get – it's like some – I was feeling like John was trying to rope us into some Bitcoin pyramid scheme.
It did sound that way. Like he, in some way, shape, or form, was selling us Bitcoin.
I know he was just informing us, but it did kind of feel like there was some sort of
like he
Amway.
Was probably in, like he trades Bitcoin all the time.
What's that one that Drew Brees speaks for? And it's basically just it's not Amway, but it's like that. It's a performance. They sell like shakes and all that.
Advocare?
Yeah. That's kind of what I kind of felt like it had that kind of vibe to it, like an Advocare kind of vibe to it. Do you ever get hit up like by your friends? There's nothing worse than when all of a sudden one of your friends decides that multi-level marketing is a good idea because then they hit you up on Facebook and be like, hey, bro, what's up? You're like, yeah, dude, what's up, man? I haven't spoken to you in forever. I know, man. What you been doing? Nothing? Bro, check it out. You want to make some money?
Yeah,
that's the worst.
No,
that's the worst.
And
just give me like 1 minute of your time. I'm telling you, man, we are going to be so rich. It's like, no, I'm good.
That's why I don't do business with friends.
And then they'll go on, and then that's all they post about on Facebook is, oh my gosh, this Advocare shake is the best shake I've ever had in my whole life. And then 6 months later, they're out because they didn't make any money and no one would sign up for the BS. And then they're like, you don't hear about Advocare anymore.
Tell them to go away when it's a friend of yours.
It is. It's like, I don't want to get caught up in that. If you hit me up for multi-level marketing, I almost don't want to be your friend anymore. Because I feel like you don't know me. Because if you were my friend, you would know that I don't want any part of that in any way, shape, or form.
Like I've been in those situations where you've tried to tell them this is a pyramid scheme. And they get irate to defend the fact that it's not a pyramid scheme. It's a way that you can make money.
Yeah, that's called a pyramid scheme.
Exactly. And they get so adamant. And then you feel like you've blown the friendship. The friendship's over now, or at least it's on hiatus till they get over it because of the fact that you didn't want to do what they wanted you to do.
Yep.
There, man. It's terrible.
I hate it. Somebody said way back Wednesday, the best sports rants, post-game rants, et cetera, ever.
What? Ryan Leaf would be up there.
That's Ryan Leaf would music, be up there, though. Yeah, but it's not a music theme. Yeah.
It's way back Wednesday is for music, not just
nice bumper
talking. Songs from artists who turned actors. I think we already did something like that, didn't we?
I think we did something like
it. I think we did because I remember doing like
Will Smith and all that.
Like one hit wonders from people that tried to be musicians.
I think we did Hollywood though.
Yeah.
How about you have Trey DJ 90s techno? No. No.
You wrecked me.
No. Is Bitcoin tangible? No, that's my point. That was the point at 1 p.m. It's not tangible.
Oh, Barry, John begs to differ. He'll be calling in again to get in for the second crash course on Bitcoin.
All I'm saying, Barry, is for a minimal investment. No, John, no. I can't. Oh, it drives me nuts.
You won't.
I hate it. I can't and I won't. I can't
do it.
Nick,
your crushed Mario Battaglia is the latest. Well, not the latest now. But one of the latest additions to the who's joining the sexual harassment scandal.
Yeah, I mean, there's two cooking shows that I'd be willing to admit that I watch on the air.
Okay.
The Chew is one of them.
Okay.
And Chopped is the other. Okay. So I was bummed to find out that
Chewed and Chopped?
Yeah.
It's like Screwed and Chopped, right?
Something like that.
Okay.
I like that.
All right.
I don't know if I should hit you up with the I award you no points drop.
It's fine. It's whatever you feel.
But yeah, I mean, he was a personality that I liked watching on the Tuesday.
I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Oh, I
have no idea who.
He's got that
probably,
creeper look.
I probably know what he looks like, but I don't know his name.
Oh, Bear, he's got the creeper look. He's got
What's his name? I'm gonna Google
Mario.
Man bun. The scrub. He's actually Harvey Weinstein with a man bun.
Batali, yeah. Batali.
Oh my God.
He's Harvey Weinstein with a man bun.
I would never eat anything this dude made because he looks like.
I disagree.
He looks like he would sexually harass your food.
I was going to say, Nick, he looked like a creeper from day one.
Yep. But you always look like more of a creeper when you've been accused of it.
No, he wears Crocs on the air.
You always look like a creeper when you look like a creeper.
When you ponytail thing, when you're, I think almost every single time, if you're like in your 50s or 60s, and he's 57.
Everything about his
face.
And
you have a ponytail, yeah. It's like you're almost guaranteed.
But it's his beard, it's his nose, it's the smugness of his face.
You're not sure who he's creeping, but he's a creeper.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. He would probably fondle your food, touch your lettuce. So it's not a guy I want to hang out with.
We thought he was the latest name to hit the airwaves as being the next guilty part or accused party. Let's put it that way. But now it's hit sports. We did this show a couple weeks back, and we asked you to guess who would be the next person, who would be the next network, what would be the next topic. Well, guess what? It's hit sports. It's hit the NFL and the NFL Network, and it's going to be a big deal. We'll talk about that in just a minute right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We're running in circles
again. Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the final half hour now of The Usual Suspects, in hour number three of the big show, before we turn it over to Fred, AJ Jong, and The Blitz. Been a very spirited and good day again here on The Usual Suspects. Covered a variety of topics. Got into some good engaged conversation with the listeners. We always love that. You got something you want to?
Absolutely.
Somebody said, what's y'all's target audience? 18 to 35? Yeah, y'all need to bump up the Wayback Wednesday year limit to some post-2000s.
No, I mean, it's really not that old. No, I mean, it's really only 15, 16 years.
Yeah, that's 17 years ago. That we won't go back that far?
For the 18 to 35. That's perfect.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be way back, not
current. You know
what
that's called? Rocket science math.
Yeah. I don't think you understand what you're not picking up what we're putting down here with Wayback Wednesday. It's like Throwback Thursday. You don't just post something that's a week old or a year old. It's supposed to be old.
Join right. The bandwagon. Everybody's on for the along My for the ride goodness. On Wayback Wednesday.
Yeah.
They so chime hate, in, they join.
It. Somebody
they
had a really good idea. I think we should consider it. Songs you used to use on your subs to make your car rattle. And we had that discussion earlier.
Yeah. I like that one.
I like it
too.
A lot.
All right. I think we have our topic then. Yep. Basically bass songs.
Pre-2000 people.
Pre-2000.
Michael from Get Me suggested TV themes, and I'm like, no, we've
already done that
right?
A bajillion
times.
He's
still looking at the man in the mirror.
What's wrong with Crocs, Joel? It was a text.
They're terrible.
What?
You're on national TV in Crocs. I understand
comfy.
If you're in the kitchen.
They're comfy.
Or you're a nurse. I get it, I guess.
Nurse?
I would... Not, like Nora. Nora's going to get the Air Force, Nike Air. She's not going to wear Crocs, right?
Yeah, she's no. In fact, that's one of her presents that she wanted for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
She sent me some Nikes. God awful ugly.
I can't figure out these people in the medical profession that wear those wooden clogs. How is that comfy and cushy? I don't get it.
I don't know, but they're atrocious.
Yeah, and they're bad to look at. But for sure, if I'm working in the medical profession and I'm running on my feet all day, I want like running shoes or cushy shoes.
Yeah, I want something light and soft.
Yep.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Music from the, I don't know what that is. I don't even know what that word is. I don't know how to say it. How do you pronounce this word, you guys? It's Baroque.
Baroque?
I don't
know. The Baroque
know.
Period? It's like classical music?
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Or does he just know how
That's
to spell?
My final answer, Barry.
Yeah, I think
does,
it is. I
does he not know
is.
How to spell broke?
My final answer, Barry.
It's okay. A style of Western art music composed from approximately 1600 to 1750.
Yeah. Once you say composed, you know.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Stop it, because that's a lie and you don't believe
it. But I do not know how to pronounce it. We got to figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I might, check this out.
Baroque. It's Baroque.
Baroque. Oh. Baroque.
Thank okay. you. Thank you.
Thank you, dictionary.com.
Joel. Thank you, Joel. Tip of the cap, Nick Chiara.
I am super impressed.
Once upon a time, music was interesting to me.
Man.
All right. So I did want to get this story out because it is kind of one that's going to create a lot of dialogue, and it's one that's not going to go away. We all know that. It started with Harvey Weinstein, but it's now involving NFL Network people that you watch if you watch football week in, week out, and some of the people that used to be on the NFL Network that have now moved on to other things. There is a former NFL Network employee, Jamie Cantor, who was a wardrobe stylist with the NFL Network from 2006 till she was fired October 2016. She has filed a lawsuit in which she names Eric Weinberger, who was a former producer on the network, who now heads up Bill Simmons' company, so he's a kind of a big deal, and former NFL players Donovan McNabb and Eric Davis, who were of the NFL Network, now with ESPN, both have been suspended today, as well as current NFL analysts on the NFL Network, Marshall Faulk, Heath Evans,
yep,
and Ike Taylor. Talking about some pretty big, especially Marshall Faulk now.
Yeah.
Donovan McNabb, who was on First Take a lot, who's on ESPN, who's got radio. These guys have radio shows. And I'm just going to say, because we don't have all that much time, but if you want to know what they have said and done to be alleged of these crimes, and you see some of the detail, good Lord, man. They are in trouble.
Some freaky deeks out there.
Yeah.
From any the of those videos clowns to the learn from to... Darren Sharper? Like, he's I going mean, away forever.
How
like,
old is this, are the so accusations, that's the though? Because that's the other question I have. Is this 2 weeks old or is this several years old? And now it's just another example of your of the past coming back it's to haunt a, people for not being decent. Years
because okay. Warren
well, apparently
Sapp.
It's been in place like October since October of 2016. I think
that's when the suit was filed the first time. But right. She filed an unlawful termination suit, didn't name any of these guys. But all of a sudden, she has decided to name names. Warren Sapp is on that list because he was on the NFL Network.
Is that isn't that the least surprising of...
Yeah, you're right. And when you look at some of the things he said... Like they used the men's restroom as the staging area for them to get their clothes to go on the air. And he came in and made lewd comments and did all these things. And she said, and more than half of these guys pulled their junk out. And she said, what are you doing? He goes, well, if that was the, if you don't want to see that kind of stuff, you should stay out of the slang term for the men's room.
That's crazy.
Like instead of saying hello, she would get her breast groped and her rear end groped.
How
as
is
a
that
way
okay?
of saying hello. I don't know.
And then the worst thing is the unlawful lawsuit is that apparently she was accused of stealing when she really wasn't. So she gets treated like that. She gets groped. And this is, allegedly. And then she gets fired by being accused of stealing something
and
that she didn't steal. And she even put some of the wardrobe on her own personal credit card to dress some of the talent. And she didn't get reimbursed. This is according to her. So if this is all true, this is just an ugly culture at NFL Network. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, I just hesitate to. You have to be. What's the right word here? You have to take both sides with a grain of salt. And I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but from that standpoint, and I'm certainly not talking about the accusations of the indecency, but as far as the stealing and stuff, that's the part where I want to see the evidence from both sides. I'm never not going to believe a woman when she accuses another man of being inappropriate with her. I think that's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But when it comes to getting fired for stealing and she's saying I didn't, that's when I'll be like, all right, I'm not taking a side. I'll be neutral. I want to hear all of the evidence first. I still want to hear the evidence from the improprieties, but I'm just not going to immediately assume she's lying. And in the case of the stealing, though, I'd rather just kind of be neutral and hear what both sides have to say.
Here's the first thing
that makes sense.
It does.
At all?
Yeah. It does. It totally does. But here's the thing. The first thing that I would say, especially in that regard, in terms of evidence to back it up, when she's as long as she's got those text messages and she has those pics and videos that these guys are sending, I'm telling you right now. And the other thing is, unless it was like secluded where if Marshall Faulk, instead of saying good morning, would walk in and grope her. Now, you know that if that's in the studio, that that's happening or somewhere. As long as it's not the two of them, it's not hearsay, then she probably has one hell of a case because of the fact that if you can produce those pictures, those texts, those videos, what are you going
to
say?
I tend to, I'm not trying to sway anybody, but I tend to think something exists if it's been brought up. Like, they don't bring up videos if there isn't a video. Like, it's rare that that happens. I mean, and I think that's probably why she has a case. And I'll also say that even if she was lying about the stealing thing, and I'm not saying that you were saying anything, but I still think you look into her case about the sexual harassment, regardless if she was really was stealing or not, because that's just too many. That's just too many names
to be included. And it's an easy way to try and bury her so that she never runs her mouth,
which I think is BS. Even if she is a thief, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I mean, this is gonna look. This isn't going away because now you're talking about across networks. This Bill Simmons' media group released a statement about Weinberger, who's been placed on indefinite leave of absence.
He's the executive producer, right?
Yep. That was the he was a producer for the NFL Network. Now he's like the president of Bill Simmons Enterprises.
Right.
With all
he's taking a leave of absence with that, too. So
Bill Simmons placed him on indefinite leave and said that these are very serious and disturbing allegations in his regard. So he's on leave indefinitely until we have a better understanding of what transpired during his time at the NFL. McNabb, suspended from ESPN. Eric Davis, the former defensive back, who has a radio show in L.A. as well, suspended from both. So, and Marshall Faulk's a guy that's been a fixture on the NFL Network and one of the most respected guys on that network. That's a big, big deal, and that's a big name in this entire process, too. So, I mean, I even looked, I went to look at, you know, who she is, you know, checked out her background
you
this morning.
You just wanted to see if she was hot or not, right?
Well, no, but at the same time, she's a little older lady, blonde hair, blue eyes. I think a lot of people would regard her as pretty.
Okay.
But not that that matters in the entire situation, but, you know, these guys are all, like, just being drawn to her. And when you read, like I said, go take the time to read the allegations on each individual. Some sick dudes out there, man.
That yeah, they some of the things
that
you were telling me.
Nothing's off limits.
I mean, to each their own, but that's some weird stuff.
Videos of them taking care of themselves in the shower is one thing.
Well, what, is it have to do with, because a lot of these are former players. And a lot of former players obviously has done some traveling with teams. And when they travel with teams, girls are throwing themselves at them or they're pursuing girls. One of the two, right?
I think part of it is an invincibility factor,
too. I mean, you're so used to it.
They think the hero mentality gets them off the hook.
Do you think part of it is thinking, well, I think guys have the misconception that, well, if I'm in shape or if I think I look good, then why wouldn't she? Or if I'm well endowed, why wouldn't she like that? So if I show it to her, I'm in. I think guys think like that.
I think they do too. It's disgusting, but I think it's true.
On the other side of it too means something, because we've all seen groupies in Fandemonium, and I've been at certain places throughout my career to see people at literally just throw themselves at individuals because of who they are, because of what they do. And that's sad in itself. But at the same time, that's what gives these guys this kind of mentality of, I'm invincible. I can do whatever I want and say they just threw themselves at me.
Yeah.
Especially if they get away with it just once. That's the scariest part. Because then it becomes a disease. You know what I mean?
It's an epidemic. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But when a groupie falls all over you, you get lulled into that false sense of, I can have any woman. And why, hey, these other chicks liked me. These other chicks didn't care that I did these things. So why would this one?
I always go back to, it's not you change when you become super successful. It's the people around you, and then it forces you to change. You know what I mean? You always talk about, like, what would you do if you won the lottery? Would you change? Would you be that vain person?
People around you would.
I think Joel would.
The fame that we've had on this show has really gone to him. And so he's changed. He's not the same Joseph that I met.
I go back to what Barkley said about Michael Jordan. If Michael Jordan was working at the counter at a 7-Eleven, would he have the same amount of women throwing them at him every day and thinking he's handsome?
Uh-uh.
No, and then he would say, you know, he's an ugly MF and I'm a handsome dude.
Somebody said if it was so bad, then why didn't she quit? I don't know. Maybe she didn't feel like that.
Maybe she needed some money.
Maybe scared her to death, too, into saying if you leave or speak up on this, you're in trouble.
But not only that, when you think about it, you're at the NFL Network. You're like, well, I'm not going to be able to work anywhere else. This is the pinnacle.
And it's not like wardrobe stylists are all over the place.
Because you know what she was doing before this? Before she was doing this, she was a merchandise, whatever you call it, for like a department store.
A buyer?
No, like, you know, like a... like when you're, I would say everything from, like, not a designer, but when you're doing everything from, like,
oh, like displays and stuff like that.
Displays and things like that at a department store, and all of a sudden she's the wardrobe.
So she's looking
head of wardrobe
thinking,
for the NFL Network.
It doesn't get any better. I'll just tough it out because I'll just leave at some point after I build my resume. So
half the people said they weren't going to go at Matt Lauer because they were afraid of the power that he had or Harvey Weinstein to keep them out of the business.
Yep.
All right, we got one segment to go in the big show. It's been a good show so far. Let's finish strong because tomorrow's a Way Back Wednesday, and in between, Fred, AJ, and the Blitz are next. They're going to take you home on your drive home till 7 o'clock, but we'll finish one more segment and wrap it up and put a bow on it next. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one segment to go in the big show before we turn over to the Blitz. It's Fred, AJ, and John next. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel now. And the one thing, because we've had so much to talk about and so much participation, there was a hell of a football game last night because the Patriots lost.
That's what made it a good game?
I loved it. I loved the fact that it was a game. Well, Barry, let's be real. You know my feelings on Jay Cutler. Anytime there's another team on the other side with Jay Cutler at the helm, I'm pretty much thinking it's doomsday. And he didn't do anything to squirt this one away.
He outperformed Tom Brady in every way statistically.
He outdueled the GOAT.
Three touchdowns, no interceptions. If I read you stats lines and said 263 yards, 25 of 38 passing, three touchdowns, no interceptions, a QBR of 70, or 233 yards, 24 of 43, one touchdown, two interceptions, and a 35 QBR, you'd say, oh, yeah, that first one, that was Brady. That second one was Cutler. Nope.
You're
flip
right.
It is the other way around. The big tell to me, even when you watch the game or just look at the box score, 25 yards rushing for the Patriots.
Golly.
25 total yards. Deion Lewis ran for 17.
I'm going to give you another
Burkhead
one.
Burkhead ran for
You would
eight.
Understand if I said this was the Cleveland Browns, but do you realize the New England Patriots did not convert a third down last night?
Isn't that nuts?
In the entire game.
And I had recorded it because I watched the Bitcoin thing, and then I had the Rockets recorded, so I watched the Rockets, and I was like, damn it. I still got to watch this stupid football game. I thought I was going to be a blowout. I had no interest in the Dolphins. I mean, I know who the Patriots are, 10-2. You knew what you were going to. You knew how this game was going to go. 5-7 versus 10-2. Tom Brady, Jay Cutler, Patriots, Dolphins. And then I'm watching and I'm like, oh my goodness. 13-10 at halftime. This shouldn't be. And then they get the two touchdowns in the third quarter. And I was all in. I'm like, all right.
Yep. And you keep saying, they're going to blow this. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's an early lead.
10 points in the fourth quarter by the Patriots made you think, okay,
yep,
here it comes. They couldn't get over that hump,
the
man.
The key was the ruling on the goal line, too, where they didn't give them the touchdown, and then they got pushed back, and they got pushed back, and they had to settle for a field goal. And it's like, oh, you're screwed now.
Yeah.
And what was that onside kick? Did you see that at the end?
I don't know.
Were they going bowling? I mean, they all line up in like a huddle that moves, and then he kind of like croquets it with his foot to get it to roll like 8 yards before it was recovered. It's like, at least give me something, like kick a laser to try and hit a guy in the face mask, but don't do that.
The Dolphins came out and were not, they didn't play scared. They didn't play in tip. They were very physical with the Patriots. Physical up front,
yes.
Physical running the ball. They were physical everywhere. And, I mean, even Ndamukong Suh at one point, one of the plays where he, I think it was Lewis, that it just ran into Suh, basically. And Suh drove him back about 5-7 yards, threw him to the ground. And you could hear him on the TV mic screaming and cursing and basically saying, get that mess out of here. Not today. I mean, like, he was going off. And you realized those guys are not intimidated by the Patriots in any way, shape, or form.
Suh's postgame?
No, I missed that.
What he exactly said was, when you play a divisional opponent and you play them in such a short proximity, and they played them just a couple weeks ago, he said they went back and looked at the tape and realized that we let them push us around.
Okay,
they
that explains it
us.
Then. Yeah.
He goes, and we made it a conscious effort in our locker room. We were not going to get out-physicaled and out and pushed around again, and they didn't.
I tell you what, Kenyon Drake ran like a man possessed. The offensive line, I thought, was really, like I said, at the point of attack, There were very few times when you would just watch the line of scrimmage that you could see the Dolphins getting to a man getting pushed back and into the backfield.
Dare I say, too, one of the things that I noticed was like on the safety blitzes. When the safety was blitzing, it's like they knew what was coming. Because not only was he blitzing, but he was blitzing and he wasn't even looking at the quarterback. He was drilling one of the running backs like 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage and getting a square shot on him. And you're like, man, something's up or something. Because, I mean, they had every read right and they were hammering the Patriots whenever they could.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
I was glad to see that it ended up being an entertaining game because I certainly didn't want to watch. If it was going to be a blowout at halftime, I was just going to go to bed. But 13-10 at half, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm staying up and watching this.
It also shows you how valuable Gronk is because their offense is totally different when that guy's out, whether it be by suspension or injury.
Yep.
And they really don't have the help, and especially when they lost Edelman. So today they signed Kenny Britt, who had been released.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to try and do one of those late season savior picks again. And they've picked Kenny Britt to be their wide receiver
that
choice.
That Tom Brady takes
we'll see
a liking
if that
to.
Works out.
Yeah.
But they're going to be extra salty. That sets up more drama for this week. How great is that Steelers-Patriots game going to be? Let me say this. Going to be hyped up to be. I hope it lives up to billing. But that should be one hell of a football game. Patriots, Steelers, and the Pats coming off a loss like that.
This is the time of year where NFL gets really good. Now that we've looked at the schedule and you've got the divisional games and now the playoff teams that are starting to, that they'll face each other, you'll get some separation. I looked at a quick glance at the power rankings now that Monday Night Football is done. Steelers number one move up from number five. Number two is the Patriots. Number three is the Eagles. They dropped from two. I would have thought they would have fell a little further. Losing Wentz, but apparently, like most people have been saying, and the hype has been around Nick Foles, it didn't affect him that much, at least in the power rankings. So number four is the Rams, and number five is the Vikings. They fell from third to fifth. The Rams stayed at number four. 6-10, Saints, Panthers, Jags, Seahawks, Falcons. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
If you care, Green Bay is 14. And you got to scroll way down for the Texans.
They're coming.
Aaron 25.
Rodgers is going to save the day.
Texans are 25th in the power rankings. Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Well, don't they get the bump up because of TJ Yates?
No, they stayed
there's
flat.
There's no bump up for TJ Yates?
Nope, they stayed flat at 25.
Damn, I thought they were going to have them. All right, that does it for another good show from us. We got one more with Barry for the rest of the week, and then he's off to enjoy some time off. And Nick Sciarra, the overused and underplayed member of the team, is going to step up big on Thursday and Friday. Already got Mario Elie scheduled in studio for an hour on Thursday, so your Rockets questions and your basketball questions
see how it is.
Will be with a multiple-time world champion as Mario Elie comes in the studio Thursday. So that'll
good.
Be good to look
I see.
Forward
you bring
to.
In, you bring in the guests when I leave. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pumped for that.
All right, I say you guys are. That's fine. Okay.
So at least we've got Barry's got us figured out, and we'll continue to deny it in public. We'll be back tomorrow with much more of the big show. Until then, it's Fred and AJ Jong of the Blitz. They're going to take you on home right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.